Good morning. This is Reed Collins with the CBS World News Roundup. Congress convenes today, the Senate in ceremony, the House in earnest. Jacqueline Adams has the story on Capitol Hill.
The freshmen of 1983 this morning will join their older colleagues in swearing-in ceremonies in both the House and Senate. The Senate will then adjourn till the end of the month, but the House will be in session for the rest of this week, working on a variety of housekeeping duties. The Democrats will approve a set of governing rules, committee assignments, and chairmanships will be parceled out. Although a few hearings are planned for this month, the serious work of the 98th Congress won't begin until the end of January, when the President sends up his 1984 budget and delivers his State of the Union address. Jobs are foremost on people's minds on Capitol Hill, principally because both the lame duck House and Senate passed public works jobs bills and then shelved them to avoid a presidential veto. Social Security will also loom large in congressmen's minds, along, of course, with the budget and ways of coping with a possible $200 billion deficit. John Ferrugia has the view of this month's events from the White House.
Mr. Reagan has to submit a budget proposal to Congress by the end of this month. But according to his closest aides, he has not yet decided exactly what will go into it. The president has been adamant that he will not cut defense spending and will not raise taxes. Many of his close economic advisors see these options as the only way to reduce a projected 1984 deficit of nearly $200 billion. This size deficit, they say, will only keep the economy in recession. This week, the president will sit down with both his cabinet and congressional leaders to find out just how hard he can push to get his program through and what he may have to give up. Many top administration officials concede the president will have to compromise unless he wants to risk an all-out confrontation with Congress. With many more Democrats on Capitol Hill this year, that could be disastrous. John Ferrugia, CBS News, the White House.
House Democrats are poised to punish some of their so-called boll weevils, those who voted with the president on some economic issues. Nearly all 2,400 residents of Times Beach, Missouri, have left their homes at the request of the federal government, which warns the presence of dioxin may present a hazard to public health. Police patrols have been reduced, and sporadic looting has become a problem. The Federal Emergency Management Agency has scheduled a meeting today among local, state, and federal officials to consider the problems. Fred Lafser of the Missouri Natural Resources Department says there is a legal difficulty.
Times Beach is perhaps the only community in the country that voted at one point to participate in the federal flood insurance program and then later voted to get out of it. And because of that, the federal requirements state that no federal assistance shall be given to public entities in that situation.
Fred Lafser of the state of Missouri. Times Beach on the Merrimack River near St. Louis has 1/8 the number of residents it had before the floods of 1 month ago. President Reagan spent an hour and a half surveying the flood situation in Monroe, Louisiana yesterday. Nearly 10,000 people out of their homes for an indefinite amount of time.
We must all do everything we can to help our neighbors in Louisiana rebuild their lives. I know the crest of the flood may not yet have arrived and the situation may become still more difficult. But please know the rest of America is standing with you.
CBS News correspondent David Dick was on the scene when the president arrived.
Some residents of the Town and Country subdivision just north of Monroe had the best seats in the House when President Reagan stopped by. Others kept on filling sandbags, and at least one man was skeptical about the president's visit doing any good.
I don't know what he's going to be able to do. Unless he can handle a shovel or something of that nature.
The president could and did, and the locals seem to enjoy it. After all, there hasn't been anything to cheer about here for a week.
Right now we're exhausted, and when we heard that he was coming, we were all just excited that maybe he could understand what we're going through. And I think all of our neighbors are just hoping that he will look and see that we've got, what, maybe 300 homes here and apartments to be saved.
The levees just seem to be getting weaker. I don't know. We're just hoping and praying, that's all.
Property damage in the Monroe area alone has been estimated at more than $81 million. Statewide, Governor Dave Treen has put the estimate at more than $200 million. David Dick, CBS News, Monroe, Louisiana.
And Governor Treen says he'll submit a bill to the federal government when all the damage can be estimated. Round three opened this morning in a Beirut suburb where Israeli and Lebanese negotiators are meeting under U.S. auspices to discuss eventual Israeli withdrawal from Lebanon. Peter Sherman has the latest.
The three committees resumed their places around the triangular conference table, still facing the initial task of setting the agenda for their discussions. 6 days ago here, and last Thursday in Kiryat Shmona, they are said to have shown some flexibility on what words to use to describe the Israelis' chief priority, normalization of relations, or simply future relations. And they are understood to be exploring the possibility of simultaneous discussion by committees of that area and the area the Lebanese consider paramount, withdrawal of forces. No one expected the third round to produce a breakthrough on the issue of the agenda, even though some progress had been reported during the first two sessions, which totaled about 10 hours of discussion. The issue is more than procedural. It sets the tone for the talks as a whole. And even after it's settled, considerable difficulty is expected in settling details of agreement, both on matters of politics and trade, and on the security and withdrawal issues, which the Lebanese and Americans view as the central issues. Peter Sherman, CBS News, Halde.
Some strong hints this morning that Israel and the PLO may be dickering over an exchange of prisoners. Israeli radio quotes Foreign Minister Shamir as saying that Israel is doing something diplomatically it wouldn't ordinarily do. It's been rumored that Israel is bidding for the release of eight of its soldiers captured by the PLO during the Lebanese invasion for some of the scores of PLO members it now holds. In this country, Conrail is getting out of the commuter rail business in the Northeast, leaving many large communities to take over the load. A much-feared traffic jam in Philadelphia failed to materialize this morning, as Steve Highsmith of WCAU reports.
Travel into Center City, Philadelphia went smoothly this morning, despite SEPTA, the local transit authority, running only 20% of the commuter trains formerly run by Conrail. SEPTA spokesman Joaquin Bowman says the rush to work went well, but it's too early to breathe easily.
Now, I think this situation, you really have to take it day by day. We also have reports of heavy ridership on our transit routes, so many people have taken the advice of SEPTA and city officials and are using alternative ways of traveling to work this morning.
Other officials also credit businesses staggering work hours and many motorists carpooling or leaving for work earlier. There is concern motorists may revert to old patterns. What this afternoon or Tuesday morning will be like, no one is predicting. A city councilman says he still plans to be in court today to order SEPTA to provide more rail service, even though SEPTA says absorbing many of the Conrail workers may take up to 2 weeks. Steve Highsmith for CBS News, Philadelphia.
Kilauea volcano on Hawaii erupted early today in a remote area posing no immediate danger, but a park ranger says it's quite a sight.
This eruption has now extended in a fissure extending perhaps more than 2 miles long, trending in an easterly direction past another hill called Pu'ukamoamoa. Right now, it's a brilliant affair. The sky is just a glorious red.
Flash floods swept through the Brazilian mining town of Belo Horizonte yesterday, and between 40 and 50 people were killed. The town is 200 miles north of Rio de Janeiro. For 25 years, my friend and CBS News colleague Dallas Townsend manned this microphone with unswerving dedication to the journalistic standards the World News Roundup helped to establish. Dallas Townsend maintained a standard to which this industry could repair. It is an honor to try to meet the standards he established.
CBS News, I'm Judy Muller. The new Congress is scheduled to convene at this hour at the Capitol. With 26 more Democrats, the 98th Congress will be sworn in shortly. The House is expected to take up a series of controversial rules changes proposed by the Democrats. The Republicans say the changes are aimed at strengthening the power of Democratic House Speaker Thomas O'Neill. But the Congress is not expected to get down to serious legislative work until later this month, after the President's State of the Union message. More news after this.
Here's great news from Oldsmobile. 11.9 annual percentage rate financing is now available to qualified retail buyers of any new 82 or 1983 Oldsmobile. To get 11.9% on any new Olds, you must take delivery from your participating Olds dealer stock by March 31st. Or get 11.9% on any new 1983 Olds if you place a factory order by February 28th. You can save hundreds of dollars on financing, and that's a great deal, especially at an Oldsmobile. Dealer financial participation may affect consumer costs.
everyone. This is Jack Buck. Hank Stram and I will be in the Metrodome. The Dallas Cowboys, with a record of 6-2, take on the Vikings. They have a mark of 4-4. The broadcast commences at 8:50 Eastern Time with Dick Stockton, Ren Musburger, and halftime. Tonight on CBS Radio.
Tonight at 8:50 Eastern, 7:50 Central, and 5:50 Pacific on CBS Radio. It's something special.
Scientists in Hawaii are monitoring the eruption of a volcano. So far, no one has been injured, but the eruption continues to build. A report from newsman Sean Fernald in Hawaii.
The Big Island of Hawaii's Kilauea volcano began erupting early this morning. Scientists at the Hawaiian Volcano Observatory reported that the eruption began at Napau Crater, located some 10 miles from the observatory. Observatory spokesman Tom English said that at least four vents had opened in the crater area, one at the crater itself and the others at distances of up to 2 miles to the east. He said the lava was flowing east along the rift zone, but that four flows had not joined together at last report. The eruption is producing small fountains of lava that are building slowly in height, and the glow from the eruption can be clearly seen from the observatory. United States Geological Survey workers have entered the area and are now monitoring the progress of the eruption. Sean Fernald for CBS News, Honolulu.
For the first time in days, it is now sunny over much of flooded Louisiana. The damage is so serious that some people may be homeless until spring, and the cost in monetary terms is expected to reach $200 million. President Reagan is promising federal aid for those hit hardest by the floods, which began 9 days ago. Although there's no rain in the forecast for most of this week, officials say rivers may not reach their crest before Wednesday or Thursday. The city manager of Miami, Howard Gary, says police procedure was violated in the incident that led to 2 days of racial violence last week. The violence began after a police officer shot and killed a black man inside a video arcade. Gary says the policeman violated procedure when he left his assigned post and drove to the Overtown slum section where the shooting took place. Gary is conducting an investigation of the incident and would not comment further on the case. Negotiators for Israel, Lebanon, and the United States met briefly this morning, but they adjourned, unable to agree on an agenda for troop withdrawals from Lebanon. Today's session was held in Kalde, a suburb of Beirut. All sides say they'll meet again later this week in Israel. As the talks began, police in Lebanon reported a sharp increase in factional fighting in the northern part of the country and in the central mountains now held by Israel. 150 years ago today, a British sea captain drove a handful of Argentine settlers from an island in the South Atlantic. It was renamed the Falklands. And ever since, Britain and Argentina have disagreed over it, even fighting a war last year. Prime Minister Thatcher sent congratulations to the people of the Falklands today. And in Argentina, the military government asked for a minute of silence to honor the 700 Argentine soldiers killed or missing in the war with Britain. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average is up 2.03. Volume on the big board, 24,630,000 shares. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 1,048.57. Now, this.
College sports. They're something special and popular with everyone. I'm Kaywood Ledford, and twice each weekend, I bring you College Sports USA. Highlights from college football, baseball, basketball, gymnastics, soccer. Interviews with top collegiate players and coaches. Everything you want to know about college sports. Join me Saturdays and Sundays for College Sports USA on most of these CBS radio network stations. It's something special.
I see America working harder every day to educate her people to live a better way.
The United Negro College Fund helps blacks fulfill their potential in walks of life where they couldn't walk before.
We want to give our best, please understand. We're not asking for a handout, just a hand.
Give to the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
The public service of the Ad Council.
Scientists in Italy say the famous tower at Pisa is leaning farther and faster as each year passes. This year, it leaned another half inch off the perpendicular. The Italian government is spending $10 million to stabilize the tower. The last time officials tried to stop the lean was 1934, but whatever they did then just made it lean even more. And they warn, nobody can say what will happen this time. Judy Muller, CBS News.
CBS News, I'm David Jackson. It's starting all over again.
This being the day
fixed by the 20th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, the House will be in order.
The Sergeant-at-Arms gavels the 96th Congress into session. It's a new start with many of the same old problems: budget, taxes, Social Security, jobs, and missiles. The first order of business is the swearing-in of all concerned. There are 86 newcomers, 81 freshmen in the House, 5 in the Senate. The legislative work is likely to be put off until after President Reagan's State of the Union address late this month. But the Democrats, with their new majority in the House, will be pushing for quick action on some new rules. Rules to strengthen the majority hand, and the Republicans are crying foul, but they may not have the numbers to do anything about it. More news coming up.
Hi there, everyone. This is Jack Buck. Hank Stram and I will be in the Metrodome. The Dallas Cowboys, with a record of 6-2, take on the Vikings. They have a mark of 4-4. The broadcast commences at 8:50 Eastern Time with Dick Stockton, Brent Musburger, and halftime. Tonight on CBS Radio.
Tonight at 8:50 Eastern, 7:50 Central, and 5:50 Pacific on CBS Radio. It's something special.
Hi, this is Bob Ask Me Anything Hope. People often call me when they have questions. Like the other day, someone asked me what the fastest bird is. Of course, I know it's the spine-tailed swift. Well, actually, I didn't know that particular answer, so I called the library. Libraries have a telephone reference service that puts the answers to your questions right at your fingertips. So if I'm on the golf course the next time you need to know something, call the library and tell them Bob sent you.
A public service message from the American Library Association and this station.
It happened in Haldeh near Beirut. Round 3 of the latest Middle East talks. Still, there's disagreement over what to talk about, as we hear from Peter Sherman in Beirut.
The third session of the Lebanese-Israeli talks proved inconclusive. The representatives of those countries met separately from the scheduled starting time in the morning through early afternoon, still trying to set the agenda for the negotiations. American Chief Delegate Morris Draper, who kept contact with both of the other sides, said, "There's always progress." But as given by U.S. Embassy spokesman John Reed, the official end-of-the-day statement, unlike those of the sessions last Tuesday and Thursday, contained no hint of progress.
We will continue our efforts to reach agreement on the agenda for the negotiations during our next meeting at Kiryat Shemona, Israel, on Thursday, January the 6th.
There's been no indication the delegates have successfully managed to narrow or to avoid the differences over which issue should come first in discussion. Matters of politics and trade, as the Israelis want, or security and withdrawal, as desired by the Lebanese. Peter Sherman, CBS News, Beirut.
But even as the negotiators met, there was renewed fighting in Tripoli. Pro- and anti-Syrian factions traded rocket and artillery fire for the fourth straight day. There appears to be a high-level parley in Prague. Leaders of the communist bloc are meeting in private in the Czech capital, apparently getting ready for a major policy-making meeting scheduled to open tomorrow. Among the notables in town and talking already, the new Soviet leader, party chairman Andropov. Hawaii's Kilauea volcano is belching again. The latest eruption began early this morning. Park rangers say the blowout is dramatic and pretty, but so remote it poses no danger to anything or anyone. Heavy rain and flash floods over the last 2 days in Brazil left at least 20 people dead and forced some 1,500 from their homes. The government says dozens of names are on a list of the missing. Louisiana flood relief officials estimate damage from the continuing floods there at more than $200 million and still counting. Nearly 10,000 people are homeless and the water's still rising. Miami newspapers quote city manager Howard Gary as saying the police officer involved in last week's initial Overtown shooting was not in his assigned area when the shooting occurred, a violation of procedure. That incident triggered 3 days of street violence. On Wall Street at the hour, the Dow Industrial's up 3.86 at 1,050.40. Volume so far, 31 million. More news coming up.
Exercise, diet, fitness, medical developments, all on our minds these days. I'm Dr. Peter Salgo for CBS News. Monday through Friday, join me for Health Talk, all about your health. Suggestions for keeping fit, new developments in medicine, diet and exercise, what you want to know about health care, and tips you can use. So listen in for Health Talk Monday through Friday on most of these CBS Radio Network stations. It's something special.
You handled those pressure changes pretty well, Bob.
I want to make a few other tests at a higher...
David Gormson is a doctor, but don't look for him at your local hospital. David's a flight surgeon for the Navy, where his patients are some of our country's top pilots. Some of the best people in many highly professional fields go to work every day in the Navy. Men and women who believe being the best means more when it's done for their country.
You passed every test, Lieutenant. You're all checked out.
Navy know-how. It's working for America.
A North Sea fish fight simmers between Britain and Denmark, but a Danish member of the European Parliament says push will soon come to shove. He plans to set out tomorrow to test new fishing rules, says he'll go after sprat off Newcastle, and if the fish lead him into newly restricted British waters, so be it. The Royal Navy is on alert. David Jackson, CBS News.